morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the TT Podcast. We're starting 2024 by being bold. Another year brings another cycling season and another chance for us to lay down some foolish predictions. Joining me to do so is my co-host Tom. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, hello. Happy New Year, everyone. It is 2024. It's been a while since we were on, hasn't it? I'm not sure how bold I'm ready to be, but I'm feeling good.
That's all right. Well, look, we'll take what you've got and I maybe pressure you to double down on them or go even bolder.
Yeah, well, as usual, on my part, very lightly researched, very lightly thought through, not too much effort expended in going into any of this at all. And still looking at like zero races watched in the last 6 months. So should be good, yeah.
Any New Year's resolutions to watch more racing?
Actually, the only cycling I have seen in the last week is you sending me a clip of Mathieu van der Poel spitting at fans on the side of the course.
Yeah, God. I mean, that's a pretty big story. So at least you're keeping up with the big stuff. Before we get into that, Tom, how was your Christmas? Did you get anything nice?
Some running socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christmas was fine at home with the family. Nothing major, no. So yeah, the usual clothes, a deodorant, shower gel set, the classics. What about you?
A good bloke's Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you want to see what I got for Christmas?
Oh, I do.
And I'm aware this is an audio platform. So for the listener who doesn't have the privilege of seeing our video call here, Tom, I'm going to ask you to describe what I hold up to you.
I assume it's cycling themed, otherwise you wouldn't have introduced this segment.
It's not cycling themed at all. I'm just very happy with it.
Okay. Okay, let's have a look.
I dropped it on the floor. Hang on.
Oh, God. That is vile.
Tom, describe what you're looking at.
For the listener, I'm seeing a pair of, well, one of what I assume is a pair.
There's a second
bright
one.
Bright orange / yellowy, like, neon Crocs. I'm looking at the right one. The left one is out of shot, but must be equally as garish and horrible.
The left one's on my foot. It's the exact same as this one.
Yep.
Yeah, the colour is orange zing. And I guess the only segue to keep that to cycling is I think EF Education First like have their own croc design.
Theirs is presumably pink.
It's mostly like pink, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, that's I just wanted to show that off. And now, you know, hundreds of people know what I got for Christmas and can perhaps go and get their own.
Look, I'm wearing some slippers that I got for Christmas as well, but they're a black pair of Primark slippers, not orange Crocs.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Tom, I'm going to kick off this new year with a little quiz.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's been a while since I've said that, hasn't it? We've kind of fallen out of the quizzes, but I'm bringing them back.
Yeah, look, my fault. I disappeared for 3 months and just fell completely out of the loop. So this year, we'll get right back into them.
As it's a new year, Tom, you'll know that what comes with a new year are new team names.
You know what? I've literally, in the build-up to recording this today, I have gone through a list of all the transfers that have been made in the off-season, which included, you know, who's going to and from the teams with their new names. So
you've done your revision.
But I don't. I'm going to get them all wrong.
Okay, right. I've only got four of them for you.
Okay.
Maybe there's a bonus fifth one, depending on how we get on. Jumbo Visma, what's their new name?
Right. Jumbo have gone. They've pulled out. So they are now, it's Visma, and then it's like rent a bike or lease a bike or something like that.
Visma, lease a bike is correct.
Visma, lease a bike. There we go.
AG2R La Mondiale, what are they?
Are they not the same?
There's an extra word.
AG2R La Mondiale. No idea.
Major retailer of sports products has come in.
Decathlon.
Decathlon AG2R La Mondiale.
Good. Decathlon are French, aren't they?
Very French. Very French. Yeah. Intermarché.
Absolutely. Even when I was looking at the transfers, they're not one I spent a lot of time over. didn't they sign a big deal with someone? No, I don't know.
So this is the shortest I've ever known their name. It's just Intermarché Wanty.
Oh, there's no Gobert or whoever
No
else.
Gobert material. It's about half as short as it was 2 years ago. So that makes things a lot easier for when we inevitably never talk about Antetokounmpo on this podcast. And the final one, which I think is the hardest, is DSM.
See, I knew that was coming because I looked at their name and I saw it changed. And I think it begins with an F, but I don't know how to say the word. Is it a German word, German-looking word?
Well, it's Team DSM and then the
yeah,
other bits.
Hyphen something, something Germanic sounding.
Firmenich.
Yeah. How do you
Team
spell it?
DSM, Firmenich, Post NL.
Oh, so it's Dutch.
Well, there's a Dutch. They've completed that. They're not black kits anymore. They're white and blue and orange now.
That, well, the NL, surely Post NL must be Netherlands.
It's the Dutch Postal Service, I think.
Postal Service, yeah.
And we all know how well things went last time there was a postal service involved in cycling.
I was going to say, an excellent track record.
Yeah. The most confusing one is the Jayco Alula team. So the men's Jayco Alula team is Jayco Alula, and the women's one is Alula Jayco.
Okay. Why?
No idea. It's the men's one, Jayco Alula. The women's one is Liv Alula Jayco. I quite like it.
Just to separate the branding.
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
anyway,
that's the old. They're the Australian team, aren't they? Like, but Alula is the Saudi something. Like we did this last year when they came in. I'm sure they're. What do they do? I know they're Saudi, but what do they do?
It's a tourist resort in Saudi Arabia. Their new kits actually have this kind of like fade from like orange at the bottom to kind of purpley at the top.
Yeah,
And
I've seen the kit.
They've claimed that the purple, I think, is an homage to the Alula sunset.
Yeah, that sounds like the sort of promotional marketing BS that these kinds of people come out with.
Yeah, well, you know, beautiful. And it's nice to have that represented in cycling now, of course.
As a Newcastle fan, I'm not going to get on my high horse about
I
Saudi
wouldn't expect you to. I wouldn't expect you to. Bold predictions, Tom. Let's come in. I've asked you to prepare three. That's going to give us six in total. I've got three for you. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, and I'm going to go straight into the back end of the season. There will be no sprinters taken to the Vuelta.
Yeah. Not a single one.
No, no one's going to bother. Why would you?
go on. Why is that?
Well, I think it's... We all know why. We've all seen the profile of the Vuelta and how... Was it... There's one flat stage?
Yeah, the only road stages, apart from the time trials, there's only one flat stage.
What sprinter is looking at that going, yeah, I fancy the Vuelta?
I think it comes on like day 7 or 8 as well. So maybe you turn up and do the first 10 days, but then also you're not picking a team so you can have one person for one stage 8 days in.
No, and with all due respect, it's a sprint stage at the Vuelta. It's not Paris in the Tour, is it? I just can't see... Unless there's someone trying to ride themselves into form, or you're probably looking, I mean, even someone, you know, one of the punchier guys like Mats Pedersen or someone. Firstly, the Vuelta comes late in the season. It depends on what he's already done, someone of that profile. And secondly, it's still arguably too mountainous and hilly for even people like that.
You know, it's not a great year for sprinters, 2024.
No
Champs-Élysées stage, one flat day at the Vuelta.
What's
the Olympics is punchy as well.
I was about to say, if there's no Champs-Élysées stage, because obviously they're in Nice, is there at least the compensation that the Olympic road race is winnable for sprinters?
No, I don't think it's a sprinters one. I mean, the finishing circuit goes up and down the cobbles in Montmartre. So it's hilly.
I mean,
it's hilly and tough.
We've all climbed those stairs up to Sacré-Cœur, haven't we?
The stairs are not included.
No, but it's the same hill. Is what I'm getting at. Yeah.
And they're going up and down them and zigzagging around them. So, yeah, I can't see the likes of Caleb Ewan fancying his bets there.
No. Okay. Well, maybe I wasn't bold enough then, because maybe my sprinter shout's okay.
Yeah. Maybe there will be no wins for sprinters in 2024.
Well, that would directly contradict one of my others.
Okay. No, I like that prediction though. I think last year at the Vuelta, it feels weird saying last year, doesn't it? Hayden
Grove. As we record, it's what, the 4th of January? Yeah.
Hayden Groves cleaned up at the Vuelta. So, I mean, with respect to Caden Groves, the caliber of sprinting at the Vuelta isn't quite what it is at other Grand Tours.
No, and that's in a year where there are sprint stages to be won.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Good one off the bat, Tom. I like it.
Okay, I'm happy. Right. Let's hear yours then.
Josh Tarling will win Olympic gold in the time trial.
That is bold. Talk us through the... We've just talked about the road race course. What's the Olympic course like in Paris?
32.4 kilometers. Basically starts at like Pont Alexandre, you know, the very decorative bridge. On the Seine. Heads... Because where else would a bridge be in Paris? Heads out east to the Bois de Vincennes and then back on a flat loop, 150 meters elevation, basically peanuts. Not long enough for any major gaps, I don't think. It's 10 kilometers shorter than the time trial in Tokyo that Roglic won. And also, but the main reason that Tarling's going to win is because he's the best time trialist on the planet.
So that's it. He's the best time trialer on the planet at the Olympics. Everyone in peak form against all the other big guns in their prime.
Yeah, look, I've thought this out. We need to bear in mind that I don't think Josh Tarling gets enough credit for how good his first pro season has been this year. He won national time trial title, European time trial title, and he came third at Worlds on a course that frankly didn't really suit him. It had that kind of cobbled, punchy climb in Stirling up to the finish. He, I think, averaged like 450 watts in that race in normal people's parlance. My FTP is like less than half of that. So, I mean, I'm not here to compare myself to Josh Tarling, of course, the best time trialist on the planet. Crucially as well, though, he will be on the same equipment as Filippo Ganna.
Yeah.
They'll both be on the Ineos bikes, the Pinarello bikes.
And well, the point I was going to make as well is that the Olympics just come at a terrible time in the year. Obviously, every 4 years they come. Well, there's been a 3 year gap this time. But my immediate thought going to time trials as well is Remco. And he's going to be coming off the back of his first ever Tour de France, I believe.
Yeah, he will.
Which immediately takes him out of the equation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't think Remco will. And it depends where Ganna is at that stage. Ganna won't do the Tour. He'll be prepping for it. But Ganna's also going to be on the track. His main priority is probably on the track.
Team pursuit.
Yeah. Roglic is the reigning champion, but he's kind of like petering out a bit in the time trial scene, I think.
He's also 34, possibly 35 by the time the Olympics roll around.
It all makes sense. Suddenly it doesn't seem so bold now, does it, Tom?
And look, I was surprised when I heard it, but when you talk it through, it's a convincing argument.
Yeah, there you go. Let's hear your second one.
Okay, well, we've just discussed their new name, but Visma... it feels so weird saying Visma first.
It doesn't sound right, does it? I always like the kind of punchy jumbo.
Yeah. Visma Lisa bike will not win.
By the way, before we move on to this, can I just say, okay, I've been pulled up on for our pronunciation on this podcast of the word jumbo.
Well, it should be jumbo, should it?
Yeah, it should be jumbo. Yeah. Fortunately, we don't have that problem anymore. Visma, I think, will be pronouncing correctly, but no doubt the same people, aka my father, will be pulling us up on that one again.
Well, that's fine. Look, that's probably just the tip of the iceberg, to be honest. I'm sure we get lots more wrong. But anyway, my prediction is that they, as a team, will not win a Grand Tour this year.
Wow. I mean, they won all three this year.
You said go bold.
At the top of this podcast, you said that you maybe hadn't gone too bold. And you've come straight up and said, Jonas Vingegaard's not winning the Tour. They're not winning any Grand Tours. Why is that? Explain yourself.
I think Sepkus was a flash in the pan. Won't happen again. Roglic is gone.
Yeah.
And I think Jonas Vingegaard on his own can be beaten.
Jonas Vingegaard's washed 2024.
Not washed. I just think, again, Remco is a threat when he comes back, because I assume they're likely targeting the Tour. And I don't think you'll see a Tadej Pogacar as poor as, well, not poor, but as off the pace as he was last year either.
Very, very interesting. I think you're right with the Giro. I don't think they'll have a GC rider particularly up there in the Giro. the tour, I just think is, I mean, we talk all the time about, you know, new talents coming through. And, you know, we thought that Egan Bernal was going to destroy the tour for the next 10 years. And he won one and hasn't surfaced again at that race. With Vingegaard,
he's had a horrible injury, to be fair.
Yeah, that didn't help, obviously. Yeah. Him getting hit by a lorry. Or running into the back of a lorry, rather. The thing with Vingegaard is that it does genuinely feel like he will dominate that race for the next few years. Like, we thought that last year. Can he do it again? And he did it again, even better. I just think there's nobody that can beat him at the Tour de France.
I don't know. It reminded me a lot of... you look at when Sky and Ineos were in their peak, and they just had the team around them was so much stronger than everyone else. And I think that makes the difference. And it's been quite clear last year that there was some tension within the team. Obviously, Roglic has left. I don't know how many of the other white riders are going to be willing to play second fiddle all season. Wout van Aert, for example, springs to mind. We know he has individual aspirations that conflict with GC riding. And you look at them, I just think as a unit, they look a lot weaker and a lot less cohesive than they appeared to be at the time last year.
Interesting. I think that if, on the very rare chance that Jonas Vingegaard doesn't win the Tour de France, he will then go and win the Vuelta by about 2 hours.
Look, obviously he's got a chance, but you told me to be bold. I went with my gut. I got out there and put something big on.
Tom, I can't fault you for doing exactly what I asked you to do. I can only thank you. Thank you very much for doing that.
If he does turn around and, or no, might be someone else in the team, but if one of them comes and wins a Grand Tour, look, they'll win the Giro first up now, and that's the end of that prediction. But I'm not going to feel too stupid.
Okay. Well, my second prediction actually conflicts with yours there.
Mm-hmm.
And mine is that Tadej Pogacar will not finish on the podium at the Tour de France.
Oh, I can't see that happening. Give me your top three in the Tour now, then.
Jonas Vingegaard, number one.
Remco,
I think, will be up there. And then I think we're going to see the likes of Carlos Rodriguez, Juan Ayuso, Adam Yates, perhaps again in there. Yeah. Admittedly, two of those are UAE, but I think someone like Juan Ayuso, I think this could be his year. Same with Carlos Rodriguez. He was up there last year.
Two UAE riders you think will beat Pogacar to a podium place.
Yeah. you know what? I hadn't actually realized they were UAE riders until I started saying it out loud. That is going to take some shift in balance, isn't it, for them to start riding for Adam Yates at the Tour over Tadej Pogacar. But
Rodriguez,
I can see it.
Alike.
Yeah, I think Rodriguez could be up there. Obviously, you know, the likes of Enric Mas, Romain Bardet.
Oh, there we go.
No. Seriously, though. Tadej's riding a completely different calendar next season than he had this season than he ever has. Like, he's riding the Giro d'Italia. He's never done that before. He's skipping Flanders to kind of balance that out. I'm just going to be intrigued to see how he manages the fatigue and the mental effort. I mean, we know with Tadej that he just doesn't have the ability to do half measures in anything. If he's racing, he's on the start line to win. And 21 days at the Giro d'Italia might end up taking quite a lot out of him by the time we get to the Tour de France. And then he might think, actually, let me focus on the Olympics because I've got a good chance of winning that.
Yeah, I get that. But honestly, I think for a rider like him, I would have said the reason his performance was relatively poor at the Tour last year was because he put too much into the classics. So if he's taking something like Flanders off his calendar and putting the Giro in, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing that harms his chances at the Tour.
Yeah, I mean, he's still doing Strada and he's still doing San Remo. And part of me thinks that he'll just turn up at Roubaix as well. Because it's the sort of bloke he is. I mean, he's one of the best classics riders, top three classics riders in the world. So he'd be foolish to kind of turn down that opportunity if they come up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's probably a victim of his own success and his own ability because there is conceivably no race on the calendar that he can't win.
Yeah.
It's just a case of managing his workload, which I don't think he did that successfully last season.
Yeah, and I think the answer wasn't Oh, Tony, what you need to do is get yourself out there and ride an entire Giro d'Italia before the Tour de France.
Maybe the answer is to not go to the tour.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But he'll win the Giro now, which will be good for your Jumbo prediction. Not Jumbo, Visma. Ah, Visma Lisa like.
And not Jumbo Jumbo.
Yumble. Right, give me a third and final one, Tom.
Right, well, the third one, I think we all knew this would be coming from me, but Mark Cavendish is breaking the Tour de France all-time stage record.
Yeah, thing is, it doesn't feel bold because we've talked about it and we've visualized it a lot, but
I
it's
think Cav
very
is so
bold.
washed, though. It feels bold because I just don't back him anymore.
He's like, look, let's work it out. Let's reverse engineer it. He's got a good team at Astana now with him. Michael Morcu.
The thing is, for me, it's not even the he only needs to get lucky once.
I don't know how many sprint opportunities are in the tour. There's usually what, like five or six?
I'm literally bringing up the route now. I'm having a look. So the first flat stage comes on day three into Turin, actually. I actually completely forgot that it starts in Italy this year, but yeah. So
But the first 2 days are really tough.
first 2 days, Florence to Rimini, that's across the mountains, and then Cesenatico to Bologna, that says it's hilly, but yeah, relatively. I'm wondering where they go to find the hills there because it's a straight line. The Via Emilia goes from Cesenatico to Bologna, and that was all flat because that's why the Romans built it there.
This said, we need to bear in mind, Cav is good at getting over the mountains and being good the next day. Like he won on the final day of the Giro last year.
Well, that's what I always thought. I mean, especially early in his career, towards the back end of stage races, week three, when there were sprints there, he cleaned up.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't think he can bank on it. I mean, last year he didn't get to week three in the Tour de France. He crashed out after 10 stages or something.
But then there's a run from stage five, stage six, stage seven, the time trial, and then stage eight, all flat, from Saint-Jean-de-Maurienne to Saint-Fulbas. If you've ever heard of, I don't know where that is, France.
So your kind of concept here isn't that he's going to be better than Philipson or whoever else that he's racing against. It's that there's just going to come a day where everything falls into place.
Philipson just needs to get caught in a crash, get the wrong side of an echelon. Something needs to go wrong. Philipson could have an off day. And look, how often do you see one sprinter? Have you ever seen one sprinter win every sprint stage at a Grand Tour?
I swear, Cav's come close at times.
Cav's the only one who's come close, and even he had days where it didn't go right. And I think the most he won was six in one Tour de France. And there were certainly day I can't remember who he was against at the time. You're looking at your Greipels and your Tyler Farrars and people in the early, I don't know, Alessandro Petacchi in his really early days when he was at the back end of his career. So yeah, just needs one day where Cav's got the legs, is in the right position, and everyone else isn't.
Okay. No, I can see it happening. Bear in mind, as we mentioned, he's not going to have that final day on the Champs-Élysées this time. Do you remember who won on the Champs-Élysées last year?
Oh. Yeah, but I couldn't tell you their name.
Jordi Mayhews of Bora Hansgrohe.
Jordi May. Yeah.
And I think that's testament to this theory that you're bringing up here, that on those chaotic days at the tour when everything seems to be set in stone, stars aligning for one rider, Jordi Mayhews can pop up and win on the Champs-Élysées.
Exactly. And that was more surprising than Mark Cavendish winning a stage.
Yeah. So Cap needs to channel his inner Jordi Mayhews.
Yeah, and he just needs to use, he's got 20 years of experience on half of these sprinters. Just use it all, he's got to outfox them as well as outsprint them.
And if not, just get Michael Morcu to drop him at the line and push him over.
Exactly. Yeah.
There we go. My final one, Tom, is also based on winning. It is that SD Works will win even more races in 2024. And by that, I don't mean, they won 62 this year. They're going to win a couple more this season. I mean, they're going to beat their
They're going
record
to win
last year.
63 plus.
I think they could win 65 plus. I think we're looking towards the 70.
What's the total number? How many are there in the women's calendar total?
How many races
Yeah, well, including if you include each day of a stage race as one
and
race.
GCs and everything? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
Okay.
mean, we're counting national championships in here as well.
Yeah.
Worlds, Euros, Olympics, things like that. You're probably looking at like 150 race days.
Yeah, and okay, they got 62 last year, which is almost half.
Yeah, look, I mean they just cleaned up everything. They got their momentum at the start of the year was phenomenal, right? They won basically all the classics. Kopecky won Omloop, Flanders, Vollering then did the Ardennes triple. I just don't see them stopping. Like you look at the other teams, Movistar have now lost Van Vleuten to retirement. Lidl Trek are kind of undergoing this regen. They've got 5 18-year-olds on their team this season. I don't see any team stopping them.
No, I mean, we've said this a lot before, even when the other teams did seem more competitive. I look at SD Works on any given day and just think, yeah, they're winning this. It's very difficult to look past them over the last 2 or 3 years anyway. And you're right, they just look like they get stronger and stronger each year while the competition gets weaker.
Who's going to beat them in the classics? You'd look at the likes of FDJ Suez in, you know, Utterbludwig, Cavalli. They're not as good as Vollering and Capecchi. In the sprints, Wiebes is pulling away from everyone else. I mean, last year I gave a lot of talk about how her and Kuhl were going to be a really good battle and how they were kind of similar level pegging. It proved, you know, later in the year, you know, when we got to the Tour de France, that wasn't the case. They could win literally every single race. They have the squad depth to do that. They've got riders like Misha Bredewold, the European champion, who is coming through and showing that she can contribute to wins as well. I just think there's going to be destruction. I think they'll win all three Grand Tours.
You know what? You're right. It's bold. It's a bold claim. You're saying they're going to win essentially 50% of the races in the calendar, if not more. But it's very difficult to disagree with.
Yeah, look, this year, let's throw some numbers at it. This year, they got 62 wins. I think the best any women's World Tour team or top level women's team had done before that was about 47, 48. And I think they're going to be pushing towards the 70 this year. I think they're on the up. Should we run back through our predictions there for anyone that's forgotten over the course of the last 20 minutes or so?
I'm more than happy to do so. Do you just want me to give all three?
Yeah, give all three, Tom.
Okay, so most recently, Mark Cavendish is going to break the Tour de France all-time stage wins record. He's long overdue. It's happening. Visma Lisabike will
Yeah.
not win a Grand Tour this year.
Mean, that is the most ridiculous one we've said on this episode, but I really like it.
I don't know why you're laughing so much. I will not take this judgment from someone sat there in orange Crocs.
Okay, fair enough. I don't think I'm the only one laughing. I think the listener is hearing this now and thinking, God, this guy's a total idiot. He needs to watch more bike racing. But that's what this podcast's all about.
The listener thinking that would also be correct, though.
Okay, and
And
your third one was.
my third one was that no sprinter will be taken to the Vuelta this year.
Yeah, nice. Okay, good. Well, let's hope the DSs are listening. And let's hope that they have a bit more confidence in their teams now that you've declared that Visma Lisabike will not win a single Grand Tour.
That any DS taking a sprinter to the Vuelta needs sacking immediately, I can tell you that now. So, do you want to run us through your three?
Yeah, my three in reverse order were SD Works are going to win even more. I think they're going to push the 70 mark for victories. I also said that Tadej Pogačar will not be on the podium of this Tour de France, of this year's Tour de France. Bear in mind also, he's not legible for the white jersey anymore. You've just rolled your eyes at me, Tom. After what you've been saying, you do not have the.
Yeah, I think that's just as bad as what I've said.
Okay, well, yeah, no, I'm not getting drawn into this. As I was saying, he doesn't. He's not in the contest for the white jersey anymore, so he can't even get on through that way. He won't be on the podium.
Fine, yeah, we'll not get into it
My
again.
final one, which, let's be honest, I think this one is genuinely going to happen. And if you're betting people, put your money on this now. You're welcome. I won't want any of your winnings. Josh Tarling's going to win the time trial at the Olympics.
I feel like that might be the most likely of anything we've said.
Okay. Well, should we end it on there then?
Yeah, well, I'm feeling a bit judged now, but yeah, we can end it there.
That's what this episode's all about, Tom.
I think there's a horrible double standard going on when you can say things about Tadej Pogačar like that, but
Okay, well, as this season plays out, Tom, I'm sure people will be reminding us of our stupidity that we've put out on this episode. Tom, where can they remind us of that, if you can remember?
gosh, it actually has been a very long time, but they can, I was about to say, we'll pin it, we'll put it as our pinned tweet, but it won't. It'll be our pinned post on X.
Our pinned X.
Yeah. They can find us on the artist formerly known as Twitter, now known as X, and Instagram at TTPDCST. I'm not
Wonderful.
Falling into Elon's games and calling it X. It's Twitter and it always will be.
Okay, Tom, pleasure catching up with you. Lovely to see you in this new year. The listener, thank you as always for tuning in. And we will be back, hopefully, a lot more frequently than we have been previously.
See you soon.
Take care, everyone.